I'll try not to be long, but usually it doesn't work. Good morning. My name is Miles McPherson, the pastor of The Rock. I want to welcome you to our third Easter service here at San Diego State. Very brief announcement. We are going to Africa with Limit X on to have two crusades, one January 1st. Then we're going to go on a two or three day safari, then have another crusade right after that, one in Nairobi, Kenya, one in Uganda. So we'll be giving you information about that. You can pray about that. And that is about 9 months from now. So be praying about that, and God is doing amazing things over there for that. If you have your Bible, let's see your Bibles this morning. If you have a Bible, and let's see your pens, amen. Turn to Luke chapter 24, please. Luke 24. Luke, I am your father. One of the most amazing and fascinating creatures in the Bible are angels. Angels are immortal beings, sinless. They will live forever, have amazing power, amazing access into the supernatural and natural world. They have appeared throughout the Bible. They are there to assist and minister and serve us and the Lord in his purposes. Hebrews tells us they are there to serve those who will inherit salvation. We all have had and have angels active in our lives all the time. Sometimes they appear as people. And when Jesus was born, and throughout Jesus' life, angels were very active. When he was born, they told the shepherds that he was being born. When he was tempted in the devil in the desert, in the wilderness by Satan, the angels ministered to him and encouraged him. When he prayed the night he was arrested, the angels came and encouraged and strengthened him. And when he was crucified and after he ascended into heaven, they were there to explain what had just happened. But in the story we're going to look at today, two angels came and rolled away the stone so he can rise from the dead. And when the women came to the tomb to look for Jesus, the angel had to explain to them what had happened. And what he said in a nutshell is, Jesus is alive. Let him live. The title of my message today is to remove the stone. And I want to encourage all of you to remove the stone from your heart and your mind. Let Jesus live. He's not dead. He's not in the tomb. He's not rotting or rotted. He is indeed alive. Amen. Amen. So as we pray, I want you to be praying that God would remove a stone from your heart and from your mind. Anything that's blocking your faith, blocking your line of sight to see him for who he is. Many of us think we know who Christ is. Many of us think we know what Christ is or was. Many of us think we have him working in our life. But guess what? God can work more powerfully in your life. You can see him more clearly, hear him more clearly. He wants to do more for you and in you and to you. So my challenge to you is that you would let him, the angel, move the stone away from in front of you, that God may truly be alive in your life. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that the Son of God is shining on our face. And as warm as that sun is, it's not hot yet. Hell is hot. As warm as that sun is, Lord, it's nothing compared to what we will experience if we reject your salvation. Lord, I pray people today would allow the stone to be removed from their heart, from their mind, that they would not look for you anymore in the tomb. They would look for you in the Bible, through prayer, through obedience, and through confession. Lord, speak to us powerfully today. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 24, verse 1. It says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and they returned to the from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. The Bible tells us that for 3 years, Jesus discipled his disciples. He turned water into wine, bread into more bread, fish into more fish. He raised the dead. He confronted religious people. Matter of fact, the religious wanted to stone him one day, and they took him to the edge of a cliff to stone him, and Jesus simply walked away. They couldn't do anything to him. Little children came onto him, and he loved them. He spoke to the weather. He spoke to demons. He taught the disciples all kinds of things, one of which was, I'm going to die and rise from the dead. But this story clearly tells us that they didn't believe everything he said. This story clearly tells us, even though they experienced his miracles, saw it firsthand, saw people whose eyes couldn't see disease go away, deaf people hear, mute people speak, demon-possessed people have a sane mind, even though they saw that firsthand, they didn't believe it. And many times we see God, hear God, hear about God healing people, changing people. God speaks to us, does stuff in our life, and we really don't believe it. We want more and more proof. How do we know we don't believe it? Look what the Bible says in verse 1. It says, on the first day of the week, early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. What did they do? They wanted to preserve the body. They still believed that he was dead. They have come to the tomb looking for life among the living. Many of us today look for life among the living. In other words, we pray to God, but then we act like God ain't going to work. In other words, we ask God to fix a situation, and then we manipulate the situation. We ask God to deal with a situation, and we whine and complain about the situation. We ask God to deal with something, and then we try to force our way. Let me tell you something. If you're whining, complaining, manipulating, trying to force your will on other people, you are acting as though Jesus is still dead. You're acting as though Jesus is still in the tomb. Let me tell you something. You have to remove the stone and let him get out. Let the living Jesus act in your life. They tried to not only preserve it, they said, Jesus is still alive. He's still dead. Look what the angel said in verse 4 to them. Verse 4 says, it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them, shining garments. And they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth and said, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you trying to pray for miracles and for God to do an amazing thing in your life if you still think he's in the grave? We have to make a decision today. Either Christ is all the way alive and all God and all powerful and almighty, or he's not. He's not a good luck charm. I went to Disneyland this week, and my daughter got a little, one of the little midget dudes, the dwarfs. Disney got some characters, I'm telling you. She got a little doll plastic dwarf. He's about that big, and she showed it to me last night. Look what I got, Dad. Just a little fella about 3 inches tall. You know, Jesus ain't a little dwarf, and he ain't a little idol. He's not fake. That's fake. There are no such thing as the seven dwarfs. All that Tinkerbell. It's all fake. The little cricket, Jiminy Cricket. He's fake. Mickey and Minnie. Minnie came to our table. I had a crush on Minnie growing up. I almost got a picture with her. About this tall. Big old ears. Fake. Jesus is not fake. He's real. And you have to decide today, either he is still in the tomb and we are wasting our time, or he is alive. They came, and you know what the angel said to them? The angel said to them, hey, remember what he said? Now, in the book of Matthew, the same story as in the book of Matthew, it says that, behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Those are some bad dudes. He came down, and when he touched on the ground, boom! There was an earthquake the other day. Did y'all feel it? I didn't feel it. Someone told me about it. But angel came down. I don't know. That's just an earthquake. That has nothing to do with an angel. But in this story, the angel came down, boom! And the Bible says he came from heaven. He rolled back the stone and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning. Woo-hoo. His clothes were like white as snow. And the guards, the Roman soldiers, shook for fear and became like dead men when they saw him. Angel was sitting there, just waiting. He wasn't going, ah. He was just sitting there going, I'm just a bad dude. Look at my, I'm like lightning. Earthquake, white as snow, my clothes. Look at me, just check me out. I know y'all can't because you're scared. Get on the ground, be quiet. As bad as those angels are, you know what they are? They're messengers. That's all they are. They're messengers, servants. And you know what he came to tell the women? Remember what Jesus told you. They don't have a message other than the message that God has put in their mouth. Look what the Bible says in verse 6. The Bible says in verse 6,
he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. I don't know this is what they sound like, but this is what my angel sounds like.
Verse 7, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. The third day he will rise again. The first thing I want to tell you is remove the stone and let Jesus live. Let him live. Let him out of the tomb. Let him be God. You know what he said? Sinful men are going to kill me. It is true. Sinful men lied about him. Sinful men beat him. Sinful men spit on him. Sinful men put thorns in his head, whipped his back, nailed him to the cross. It all happened. When he was being nailed to the cross, he told the Father, Father, forgive these sinful men because they don't know what they're doing. But they're wrong. I mean, they're sinful. Forgive them. It's all true. He went in. They sealed the tomb. They put guards in front of the tomb because Jesus said he was going to get up. And Pilate says, we don't want anyone to steal the body because then they're going to make a tale, a fairy tale that he got up. So let's put guards in front of the tomb. Angel says, guards, come on, fool. I'm like lightning. I'm a land with earthquake. I got clothes like snow. They're going to freak out when they see me. Angel came down and said, guards, lay on the ground. They laid on the ground, rolled the stone. Then he sat on it. Go ahead, Jesus. What else can we do for you? Nothing right now. When the women come, tell them I'm risen. Let him live. Let me read it first to you. Because let me tell you something. If Jesus is not risen, we are wasting our time. If Jesus is not risen, don't read your Bible, don't go to church, and don't obey any laws. There's no God. If Jesus is not risen from the dead, there is no God, and we are wasting our time. Let me read something to you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. I'm going to just read it to you. It says, now, if Christ is preached that he has been risen from the dead, how do some say that there was no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. Yes, we have found false witnesses or liars of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not raise. For if the dead do not raise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, just in this life, we are all men of the most pitiful. If Christ is not risen, all this is a lie. So either he's alive or he is dead. Just like the Smurfs, just like Buddha, just like Muhammad, he's still dead. Let Jesus live. Let me tell you something. He did rise. Not only did he rise from the dead, he walked around for 40 days and showed himself to hundreds of people, 500 at one time. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Look at the spear scar in my side. Look at the scars on my back and my face. He showed himself. It wasn't a private thing. It wasn't in the corner where he rose up and snuck behind a tree and went to heaven and just left a little note. No, he showed himself to people. He showed himself to people. And the fact that he rose from the dead, the fact that he rose from the dead proves that nothing can hold him down. Nothing can hold him back. But what is most crucial and critical and important about that fact is that if nothing can hold Christ back, nothing can stop him from ministering to you. Nothing can stop him from helping you. Not poverty, not discrimination, not depression, nothing. Disease, nothing can stop. Your problems can't stop God. Many times we say, oh, how's God going to help me? And God's saying to you, I raised from the dead, fool. I was in the grave for 3 days. They brutally murdered me. And I got up. And you got rent problems? You got acne problems? You got hair problems? Boy problems? Girl problems? Money problems? Please. Your big problem is sin. And that was the whole reason I died. Why? Because the penalty of your sin is death. The penalty of your sin is death. You're going to die. And the whole reason I died was to pay the price for your sin. The Bible says the wage of sin is death. But Jesus Christ, in his love for us, died in our place. And he not only paid the price by dying and being buried, he overcame death himself and rose from the dead to deliver you from your sin. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you too will rise. You too will have new life. You too will have forgiveness. The first thing you have to do is remove the stone and let Jesus out. Let him be God. Let him forgive you. Let him cleanse you. Let him renew your mind. Let him give you a whole new start. And all your sin from the minute you were born, all your sin and all the stuff you've ever done, let him bury it in the tomb. Let him put it on the cross. That's what he did it for. He didn't do it just so we can have gold chains and earrings. And a cross on top of a building. He did it to give us life. The next thing we have to do is remove the stone and let his faithfulness live. Let's read the Bible. Verse 9 of Luke. Verse 9, it says, they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11. Remember, they were 12, but one killed himself, Judas. And to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them. Notice how God used women to minister to these men. He said, it was the women who told these things to the apostles. And all their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. I walked with Jesus for 3 years. I see miracle after miracle. I touch him. I eat with him. I sleep with him, in the woods with him. I pray with him. And then he says, I'm going to die like this at the hands of those people. They're going to crucify me. They're going to bury me. And I'm going to get up. Oh, Jesus, we believe you. Oh, God. And then he dies 3 days later, just like he said. These women come and say, he's up. He's gone. And I go, you're telling a lie, aren't you? You must be kidding me. How many years have so many of you been coming to Easter service over and over and over again, and yet Christ is not your Savior? What are you doing? If he's not your Savior, why do you come? If you come, you're acknowledging, it's probably like a good luck charm, right? Well, if I go, then he'll see me, and when I die, he won't send me to hell. Don't be tricked. That's religion. That's man's mindset. I'll do good. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The Bible says he wants all of you or none of you, either be hot or cold. So you're here today. Is it an idle tale to you that this man rose from the dead? Is it an idle tale to you that he walked around for 40 days after he rose from the dead? Is it an idle tale that he walked on water, raised the dead, healed the blind, the deaf, the mute, the paralyzed, the demon-possessed? Is that an idle tale? If it's not an idle tale, then nothing else he said is an idle tale. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me, Jesus said. It's not an idle tale. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's not an idle tale. Heaven and hell is not an idle tale. Eternally being separated from God and eternally being with God is not an idle tale. It's all true. So if it's true, live like it's true. These women, when they heard it, you know what they said? We are going to obey what we heard. How many times has God done amazing things in your life you never told anybody? How many times has God done amazing things in your life and you never said thank you to him? Tell somebody about what he's done in your life. Tell somebody about what he's told you, what he's revealed to you, how he's changed you, how he's steering and directing your life and blessed your life. How many of you say, no, this is all about me. I built this company. I built this house. I built this family. It's about God. And when these women heard the good news, what did they do? They went and told people about it, and they said, God has been faithful to me. Let me tell you something. There are so many of you here today that God has been so faithful to all your life, and now he wants you to take the next step and give your life to him. Stop just saying, well, he blessed me here. I'll go to Easter. I'll go to Christmas service. Maybe when someone dies, I'll go. I'll say my prayers. I got my Bible on the shelf. I know where it's at. No. If it's true, give it up. Ask Christ to forgive you. Come live in your heart. Fill you with his Holy Spirit. Remove the stone and let him be alive in your life. Let him really change the way you think. Let him really change the way you talk. Let him teach you how to love your wife, how to love your husband. Let him teach you how to run your company. Let him teach you how to be a true man of God, a true woman of God, a man who serves, not as caught up in being served. A woman who serves, not caught up in being served. A woman who is caught up and more concerned about her inward beauty than outward beauty. Let God reveal himself to you and change your life and be who he is, who he wants to be in your life. The third thing you got to do is what Peter did. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 11, it says, their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. There were some who said this to the women, we don't believe you. There were some today, you may have heard the gospel so many times before, and you said, I don't believe it. At least not enough to give my life to Christ. At least not enough to let him change me. I don't believe it that much. But don't be like that. Remove the stone and let his promises live. His promise to forgive you, to cleanse you, to fill your heart with joy and peace and patience and kindness. Let his promise live that he wants to truly cleanse you of all your sin. Let his promise live that he wants your issues. You can go to counseling all you want, and counseling's great, and I encourage you if you need it, go. But let me tell you something, God is the best counselor. Give him your issues. Give him your problems. Give him your debt. And what did Peter do? When all these other guys said, it's an idle tale, look what Peter did. But Peter, verse 12, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb. He didn't do like this. I wonder if I should go. I don't know if he's, maybe he lived. Peter said, what? Wham! It says he ran to the tomb, stooping down. He saw the linen clothes lying by themselves. What? I've told you many times I've been to the tomb and how people stand in line to go into the tomb and see an empty tomb, one after another. The tomb's still empty after every person goes in there. But you have to see it for yourself. Peter went and looked in the tomb, saw the clothes lying by themselves. And look what the Bible says. It says he departed, marveling to himself at what happened. He was tripping. That's what that means. He was tripping. If you're ever tripping, that's what it means. You're marveling at yourself, not to anybody else. Marveling to someone else, you can't believe what happened. You can't believe what happened. But marveling to yourself is, I can't believe what happened. I can't believe what happened. It's amazing. I just can't believe it. He was all by himself. He was bugging. Remove the stone and let his promises live by walking by faith. What does that mean? That means that Peter heard that Jesus was alive and he believed it. Peter heard Jesus rose from the dead and he believed it. Peter heard that Jesus' word was faithful and he believed it. Jesus said to doubting Thomas had heard Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he didn't believe it. Jesus walked through the wall in a room that Thomas was in. That is funny. Imagine you're in a room. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. I don't believe it. I want to see it. I want to see the hands. I want to see his feet. And Jesus walks through the wall and goes right over to Thomas and says, Thomas, look at my hands. Look at my side. I've been hearing you talk trash behind my back that I didn't rise from the dead. And then he left. You know what he said to Thomas? Thomas, because you have seen me. Because when Thomas saw it, he says, my Lord, my God. He said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen, yet they believe. Remove the stone and believe what you have not seen. Amen. The Bible says the just shall walk by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're not always going to see proof for everything you hear in the Bible. God said he wants to change your heart. How's he going to do that? You know what the Bible says? He's going to take out your heart of stone and put in your heart of flesh. How's he going to do that? You got to let him do it. The Bible says he will renew your mind. If you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, he will renew your mind the way you think. How's he going to do that? Through his Holy Spirit. The Bible says he's going to bring new people into your life. How's he going to do that? Through his Holy Spirit. The Bible says he wants to help you deal with your financial debt. How's he going to do that? Through his Holy Spirit. He's going to get rid of deal with your depression, your low self-esteem, your bad self-image, all the stuff that the devil uses to beat you down. God wants to deal with that. And you say, well, I don't understand. You don't have to understand. By faith, you accept it. By faith. And this is where the rubber meets the road, my friends, because let me tell you something. I didn't see Christ walk out of the tomb. I never saw Christ for his 33 years of living. I wasn't there, but I believe it. You have to decide either you believe it all the way or you don't. You cannot be in the middle. You can't have one foot on this side of the fence and one foot on this side of the fence because there's barbed wire on the fence. Ooh, you don't want to walk on that fence, baby. You have to either say, I'm going to be on this side of the fence or I'm going to be on this side of the fence. I'm either going to be all with Christ and believe, yes, he rose. Yes, he's alive. Yes, his word is true. Yes, his promises are true. Yes, he loves me. Yes, he will forgive me if I repent and give me new life. Or all of it's a lie. And if it's all of it's a lie, let me tell you something. There is no reason to ever read the Bible. There is no reason ever to obey a law because there is no law. The devil rules. What I want, what you want, rules. Truth is relative. Whatever you think is fine is true. But it ain't the way it is in God's kingdom. God is absolutely God. His truth is absolutely right. In a minute, we're going to pray. You're going to have to make a decision that you are going to say, Lord, I believe that you are alive. I'm going to allow the angel to remove the stone in my life. And I'm going to trust your promises. I'm going to trust your word. I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong. And I believe my sin will kill me and send me to hell, because that's what the Bible says. So in a minute, we're going to pray, and you're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, please be alive in my life. Be resurrected in my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, eternal life. Be alive in my mind with what I think. Take over my life. I want to be resurrected into a new man, a new woman today. Today. I want you to forgive me and change me with the twinkling of an eye today and be my Savior. Let's all bow our heads and pray right now. And please listen very, very carefully. Lord Jesus, you did indeed live 33 years. You did indeed perform miracles never seen. You did indeed overcome all powers, natural, supernatural powers, medical powers, the laws of physics, chemistry. You created it all. And Lord, you did indeed allow sinful man to crucify you. Nail you to a cross. They buried you. They wrapped you up. And then one of your angels came down like lightning. Landed like an earthquake. Dressed in garments like snow. He rolled the stone. Sat on it. You walked out. For 40 days, you revealed yourself to people, confirming in their hearts and minds that everything you had said was true. Everything you predicted will come true. And then you ascended to heaven, and there another angel was to explain what they had seen. And Lord, since that day, many men, many women have given testimony that you are alive through their words, through their actions, through their changed life. Lord, there are people here today. They came to look at the tomb, but they've had spices in their hands. They came to preserve a dead Jesus. They came to a religious service because out of habit. But Lord, you want to remove the stone from their life, and you want to rise in their life. You want to be resurrected in their mind and in their heart. And Lord, I pray right now that those people would realize, yes, I need to be forgiven today. I need to stop playing religion. I need to stop playing a game with God. I need to be like Peter. And based on what I heard and what I read in the Bible, I will submit myself to Jesus. So right now, if you would like your sins to be forgiven, you would like to accept Christ as your Savior, that he would be resurrected in your life for once and for all, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. But as you pray, you must believe these things to be true. You must have faith that he loves you, that he died and rose from the dead for you. You must have faith that without Christ, you are eternally hopeless and helpless. So in the privacy of your heart, if you would like Christ to be your Savior today, pray this prayer. Pray, dear God, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe that my sin is wrong, that it will kill me and send me to hell. But I believe that Jesus is Lord, that he died and rose from the dead for my sin. I believe that he loves me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. Please be my Savior, my Lord, and my Master. As all of our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in a minute, I'm going to ask you, if you prayed that prayer, to stand up. When Jesus hung on a cross, he hung on a cross in public. When Jesus was nailed, he was nailed in public. When he was humiliated, it was in public. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up, but not to humiliation, to glory. As standing up, you will give testimony, yes, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of him in front of man, he will be ashamed of you. Walking with Christ is something you do in public. So right now, in this public place, in front of your new brothers and sisters in Christ, if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior, right now I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and acknowledge that. Straighten your legs and your body will rise. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. Stand to your feet and stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. All the way to the top. Stand up to your feet. Man and woman, young and old, God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing, please. Stay standing. God, not man, not a church, not a pastor, God wants to do something in your life. Something amazing in your life. Something you cannot imagine. There are some of you still sitting. You're waiting for me to end. You got to stand. If you pray to ask Jesus into your heart, stand to your feet right now. God bless you. God bless you. Stand up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now we're going to ask all of you who are standing to do one more thing. We want to welcome you to the family of God. We want to give you something right now. I'm going to ask you all to come out of your seat and come right down here to the altar. Let's give them a hand. Come on, out of your seat. Come right down here to the altar. Come on, let's give them a hand. Come on. Come on down here. Yay. Come on down the aisle. Amen. Face this way. Face this way. There you go. Very good. Come on. Let's give them a hand. Let's encourage them. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Come on, let's encourage him. Amen. Amen. Come on, you can cheer better than that. We can cheer better than that. Amen. 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 Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, and let me say this because we're going to pray for them. They're all going to walk up these stairs and make a left right at the halfway up. They'll guide you up. We want to clap them out. We're going to be back here tonight. We're going to have Limit X Steps of Praise. We want you to bring somebody who needs to be saved. We're going to do this again this evening. We want to see this happen again tonight. Amen. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God says he will never leave you or forsake you. He will remember your sin no more. Your family will. Your friends will. But God won't. And God says if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. He's going to show you a whole new way of doing everything. Everything. The way you dress, eat, treat people, everything. You used to sleep on this side, now you're going to sleep on this side. He's going to change. He wants to change. Let him change whatever he wants to change. Because he's right. The reason we're here is because we're wrong. All of us. Not just y'all, all of us. God is good. Let's pray for them. And then what we're going to do after we pray for y'all, can y'all raise your hand up there? We're going to send you right up to the corner, right? And we have some books we want to give you. If these are your friends and family, they'll be right back there. We're going to ask you all to walk this way, right up the stairs. So let's pray for them real quick. Lord Jesus, thank you that you did what you said. Thank you that you weren't an imposter, a hypocrite, a liar, a lunatic. Thank you that you really did live a sinless life. You really did allow sinless man to crucify you. Thank you that you rose from the dead. And you offer to us eternal life. Eternal life. I thank you that you have forgiven all the sin of these people here this morning. I thank you that the life you have for them is radically better and different than what we can ever secure for ourselves. Lord, what the world has to give us is nothing compared to what you have to give us. I pray you transform these people's lives, Lord. And I pray that these young Christians standing at the altar now would be thinking right now who they're going to bring back to get saved tonight. That they can do the work of evangelists now. And that we would be thinking who needs to be saved. Because the days are short. There is evil throughout this world like we've never seen. Lord, no one knows when you're going to come back, so we have to work like it's tomorrow. Lord, I pray supernatural change in the lives of all these people. I pray a supernatural blessing on everybody here that you would remove, that we would remove the stone from our eyes and from our heart and from our lack of faith and from our fear and let you be risen in our life. Let you be alive eternally. With all the power, the dunamis power that's from heaven. That you would do in our life, through our life, whatever you want.
As Paul said, he wanted to attain to the power of the resurrection. He wanted to experience that new life. Lord, we don't want to live in this body and be limited by this body. We want to be empowered by you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being God, G-O-D. Thank you, there is no other, never will be, never has been. And thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody here, we're going to ask you to go that way. Walk to your right. Let's give them a hand as they walk out. Just walk this way. Oh, I'm sorry. Communion. Get out of your communion cup. Stay right there. I need a cup. Thank you. I got all excited. It's okay. It's still early. Still the morning. Amen. Thanks, John. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread. If you could open your little cup, just the wafer on top. And he broke it and he gave it to the disciples. And he says, you know what? This is my body. Take, eat. Do this in remembrance of me. When Jesus was on the cross, his body was broken. Broken. Lord, we thank you for letting them crucify you. We thank you for giving your life for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Be very careful with that cup. We do not clean clothes. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood, the new covenant, which is shed for the forgiveness of many sins. Lord, we now know and see right before us what your crucifixion was all about. Changed lives, salvation. And I pray that as we drink this cup, we would allow your spirit to cleanse us afresh. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. Fall upon us in a powerful new way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's cheer him on. Let's walk this way. Amen. Come on. I know it's hot, but let's go. We're going to be done here in a minute. Amen. 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 Y'all can go that way. Amen. Congratulations. Jesus! Are you hot? That's okay. Let's go. We don't want him to get lost. Amen. God's got a blessing for you. God's got a blessing for you. God's got a blessing for you.